Carl Strock is a longtime columnist in the Capital District. His new book, From Deburg to Jerusalem, chronicles the author's journalistic adventures from the most trivial, the painting of the town garage roof in Duanesburg, to the most far-reaching, his travels to Jerusalem, visiting along the way corruption, the power of teachers' union, the sexual abuse of children, Christian fundamentalism, and much more. These are the stories that Carl Strock explored in his newspaper column with a trajectory that goes up and up until it suddenly went down. His career ended in great controversy, even protests, last year over his writing following that trip to Jerusalem. Carl Strock worked in Vietnam, Laos, and Hong Kong before landing in Schenectady and launching his column, The View From Here, for the Daily Gazette. Again, his new book is From Deburg to Jerusalem. Carl Strock joins us. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Nice to be here.
What brought you to tell of this rise and fall story?
Well, I guess you could say it was the fall that led me to tell the story. I was a columnist at the Gazette in Schenectady for 25 years, and that came to an end last year after I made a vacation trip to Jerusalem and wrote a number of columns about what I had seen and learned there that angered some people. Led to a campaign against me, which led to the Gazette telling me I was going to have to cool it, which in turn led to me saying, well, that's enough. 25 years is a good enough career, and if I have to continue with one hand tied behind my back, I think I will not continue any longer. So that's the fall. That's the awful fall that I refer to in the subtitle.
Ultimately, though, it was your choice. I mean, in using the word awful, yes, because that chapter of your career has come to an end. Do you feel that in some ways it was taken out of your hands, that you didn't have the choice that you would have liked to have?
I had a choice. It was my choice to leave, but I left because conditions had changed. If conditions had not changed, I had every intention of staying till I collapsed at my desk, which may not have been for the good. I don't know, but conditions changed, and so I made the decision to leave.
What was it, do you think, about your writing, specifically about Jerusalem, that would enrage an audience in the way that it did?
Well, I don't know if you've read my column over the years, but it's no secret that I have no high regard for religion, for any religion. I got a lot of mileage out of mocking evangelical Protestants over biblical creationism. I got a lot of mileage mocking the Catholic Church over the canonization of this Indian maiden from 300 years ago, Saint Kateri. And finally, at the end, I got mileage, unfortunately, out of mocking Judaism for its mythology that, the great God up in the sky gave that land to the Jews, and the Jews therefore have the right to dispossess and displace the Arab inhabitants of Palestine. That's what did me in, criticizing not only Israel for its ethnocentric policies, its oppression of the Arab people, which I saw and learned about for the first time while I was there, but for the religious pretensions behind it, which I treated with great irreverence. And put those two together, it was a toxic mix.
You had to know that a little bit going in.
I'm not entirely naive.
Yes.
Yeah, I had an inkling that this might be delicate ground to tread on, and I asked myself, do I want to tread on it? And I said, yes, I do. I learned something. I saw things in Israel that I had not been aware of. I had been really amazingly ignorant of Israel, you know, for someone who's been in the news business as long as I have. I just hadn't paid much attention to it. And I got there and I toured the West Bank. It was really an eye-opener to me how Jews from Europe and Russia came and basically overran, displaced, and continue to displace the native Arab inhabitants, the Palestinians. And I thought, do I want to, you know, soft pedal this? And I decided, no, I don't. I saw things that I thought were outrageous, and I figured, well, I'm going to write about it. And the devil take the hindmost. And I turned out to be the hindmost.
When you think of your career and the background that you had before you even came to this market, before you came to Schenectady so many years ago, this was always what you wanted to do, be a newspaperman.
No, it wasn't. No, I kind of fell into it. I fell into journalism actually in Southeast Asia, in Vietnam during the war. I was in Vietnam with the Friends Service Committee doing refugee relief work and wanted to stay on after that gig came to an end. And journalism was something I kind of fell into and really didn't much care for it. I didn't regard it as my calling at all. But as time went on, it turned out it was the only thing I knew how to do. I never learned to be a plumber or a mechanic or a barber. And when it came time to pay the rent, the only thing I had to sell was my ability to write sentences. When I got to Schenectady, they offered me, as I say in the book, my beginning there, they offered me this, to me, rather absurd job of reporting on the incredibly trivial doings of the town of Rotterdam, bad enough, but also the rural town of Duanesburg, hence the title From Deburg to Jerusalem. That was really the beginning of reporting on the trivial affairs of Duanesburg, such as the painting of the town garage roof, where I had the insight, it was an insight for me anyway, that if I just stuck to the facts and told the plain truth without trying to dress it up, and without translating it into the vernacular of journalism, but told it in plain English, it might work. And it did. I told about these trivial events like painting the town garage roof in plain English, straightforwardly, and some people thought it was hilarious. They thought it was very funny. And it was strange to me because I didn't think it was funny. I was annoyed by it. I was kind of disgusted with myself for being brought so low in this world as to have to report on these things after having, reported on the Vietnam War. But it worked. And the more I did it, the more it worked. And the more I began to relish it. And eventually, little by little, I came to think of myself as a journalist, as I never had before. And 30 years later, here we are.
And at the time where you become a columnist, where your job is to share your opinion, that must be incredibly freeing.
I never thought of it that way. Other people used to refer to me, including the management of the newspaper, as an opinion writer. I never thought of myself as an opinion writer. What I was doing was telling the truth as best I could. Which is exactly what I did in Duanesburg with the painting of the town garage roof. Not disguise it, not translate it into newspaper jargon, but just tell it as it was. And when I became a column writer, I had the freedom to inject a wisecrack here and there. And I did not have to disguise my opinions, as reporters must do by the conventions of the business. I could make clear what they were in the way I told the facts, but I very rarely expressed opinions directly. This is what editorials do in the newspaper. Editorials will say, the mayor should do such and such. I call it should writing. The city council should not pass this. The governor should do that. This is wrong. This is good. That's bad. I almost never do that in print. That's what I call opinion writing. I reported facts. I did it, however, in an opinionated sort of way, if that makes sense, without stating my opinions, but doing it in such a way so that the reader could clearly perceive them. I don't think I ever said that what the Jews do to the Arabs in the Middle East is unjust, but I reported what they do, what I had seen with my own eyes, so that any reader who is not brain dead could perceive that I thought it was unjust. But I think there's a difference. I think there's an important difference.
Do you regret anything you've ever?
Well, I gave a talk about this the other night, and somebody said, "Did you ever make any mistakes, or what was the biggest mistake you ever made?" And I said, "The biggest mistake I ever made was going to Jerusalem. If my wife and I had gone to Disney World instead, I'd still be writing that column." I say that tongue in cheek, of course.
But it seems that you missed the column. You miss that outlet.
I do miss the outlet. I've started writing a blog at the Times Union under the category of news and media, if anyone wants to look at it. But that's not quite the same. It doesn't have quite the exposure that a column on a section front of a daily newspaper has.
As the subtitle suggests, the unlikely rise and awful fall of a small town newsman, there's a wonderful, I think most of us that work in this market would agree that there's a wonderful aspect of working here, because it is, there's great opportunities, are the area is vast and certainly very, very eclectic, and there's a lot to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about indeed, and it took me a while to appreciate it. At first, I felt sort of demeaned by having to report on these, you know, town planning board meetings and that sort of trivia. But there is a lot of stuff there. You know, the people are as real as the people in Vietnam or anywhere else in the world. The problems are just as real. And if you stay around, there are stories that are genuinely big stories by any measure. Like, for example, the entrapment, as I see it, of the two Muslim men in Albany. They're being set up by the FBI so that the FBI could sort of make its bones in the war on terror, concoct a plot, try to induce a couple of guys to participate in it, and then arrest them just in the nick of time. I thought that was an absolute outrage. I'm referring to the case of Aref and Hossein in 2003. I think it began, the trial was in 2006, which is a story that I put a great deal of energy into. And that's a story that has merit and that is worth attention, I think, anywhere in this country. It just so happened it happened in Albany. And there are other stories, too, that are illustrative of major events, major trends. Sex abuse hysteria, another subject I write about in the book, the abuse of the family court system to take children away from parents on very flimsy grounds. These are all national stories, and you could find little examples anywhere. I found little examples here in the Capital Region, and I think they're worthy stories. You know, the planning board meeting, you know, whether or not we ought to allow a hairdressing salon to be built on such and such a corner, that is trivial indeed. But there are lots of things that are every bit as important here as they are elsewhere in the world.
There is a certain cachet that comes with being a columnist, in that it isn't, people aren't reading it based on the headline. They want to read what you've written, and they're coming to the paper to read you often. Did you see what Carl Strock wrote today?
Yeah, I became aware of that, and it was very flattering, and I felt a great sense of responsibility because of it. It weighed on me. People used to tell me, whether they were just being kind or not, I don't know, but people used to tell me, you're the first thing I look for in the newspaper. You know, the main reason I read the Gazette is because of you. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe they're just being nice. But even so, I took it very seriously and considered it a big responsibility when I sat down to write, that there are people waiting to pick up the paper tomorrow morning to see what I have to say. I better have something to say. I better have something worth reading to say.
In writing this book, did you enjoy the journey of looking back at your career?
Yes, it was, you know, it's interesting to look back at stories that you were deeply involved in some cases 10 or 15 years ago, when naturally the passion has cooled. All the stories that I referred to in the book, that I summarize in the book, I felt very strongly about at the time. Naturally, 10 or 15 years later, these situations are all resolved.
Right.
They're not momentous any longer. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting to take a second look at them with maybe some more objectivity.
The name of the book is From Deburg to Jerusalem. Carl Strock will be doing a series of book events and signings. He'll be at the Book Hound in Amsterdam on Saturday. He'll be at the Book House in Albany on November 3rd and at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga on November 7th. You can see the complete schedule at carlstrock.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.